Arenado!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Beard has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, and on 710sports.com. Guess where we are, everybody? We're out at Seahawks training camp. It started today. How about that? Here we are.
We're the greatest place on earth, right? Or is that where they, is that in Anaheim or in Orlando or right here on the shores of Lake Washington?
It's hard to say, brother. It's hard to say. That's where we are. The Eagles will be out flying. The sun will be shining. The 12s will be running to the berm. And we'll be talking to KJ Wright at 8 o'clock this morning. Brock, of everything.
Yeah.
Of everything we'll see here over the course of the next month, what are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm most looking forward, honestly, to seeing Coach Carroll and how he's resetting this program. I think of anybody, I know he's going to be energetic. I know he can't wait to get going. He's going to talk a million miles an hour. He's going to run by us today. He's probably going to throw footballs at our canopy, which he loves to do. But I'll have a lot of eyes on Coach Carroll just starting and working with this team and so many of the new faces here. He, Mike, is probably also the one we can easily predict. He's been just nothing but a model of consistency really over nearly his decade here. So I have a pretty good sense of how he's going to look, of how he's going to sound. But it's going to be, for me, a whole lot more than that. You know, we're going to be playing a game in 2 weeks. I mean, 2 weeks from tonight will be that
hopefully
first preseason game.
I'm not playing any game. I'm just going to tell you right now. Hopefully, it's not a week.
You know what? That's
hopefully, it's a day. I mean, like, if you had to go out there and whip the ball around a few times, as long as you could stand still in the pocket, you'd be fine. Protect you well. Like, okay, that, I can see that. But I'm not doing that.
That's my first week and probably my last one. Right, but, yes, the Seahawks are going to play a game in 2 weeks. So, in getting ready for all of that and putting, you know, kind of the work in and the study and everything else, I will be very curious of just how Pete resets it. It begins today with Earl. I know you guys talked about that yesterday. You asked me in Blue 42, but it begins today with Earl Thomas and how, you know, he's going to command that situation. But it's a lot more, you know, it's just a lot more than that. I guess there's probably more nuance to it that I'm not explaining very well, but I just want to see the captain lead a ship.
Yeah.
Because there was just, not a mutiny, but there were certainly guys last year and over the last few years that that didn't follow the orders the way that it certainly felt like early in his tenure here.
I'll give you two, and you guys can text it on this. You can even jump in on the calls if you want early today, 206-421-3776, or, as I said, text messages, 710-710. That's, of course, my text line. What am I most looking forward to watching here and discovering over the next month? Probably two things. One, the return to their identity. This will be my number one thing. The Seahawks needed to return to who they were. They threw the ball too often. They didn't pass block. They didn't run block. They didn't run the ball. They didn't play physical. They allowed Jacksonville to run down their throat on 3rd and 11 at the end of a game for a first down.
They just didn't command the line of scrimmage.
They weren't the Seahawks.
No.
They weren't the Seahawks last year, and that had been a steady erosion over the last few.
2.5 years, really.
Finally, they made a commitment this offseason to get back to being who they are supposed to be, to the identity that they have stated aloud of what they want to be. And I am looking forward to seeing whether or not they are able to make that turn in 1 year.
Do you have a sense? I'm reminded of two guys as we sit here. I'm reminded of Groz, who just looks on this field like, wow, what do you want me to say? And Tom Wasso, who I think said to Coach Carroll, like, yeah, this reminds me of PE class.
PE class, right? They're running from place.
So I, with those two kind of framed in my mind, I'm sorry, but I just have to then follow up with you. Like, then what's the action step? Is you say that, and you've really said that since January with the different moves that were made at O-line and coordinator and draft, and you've been pretty darn consistent over the last 8 months with that ideal of wanting identity.
Do you think
you're going to be able to see or hear or feel that as you watch? And I don't ask that in a demeaning way.
I guess I'll see more of that in the games, in the preseason games. But I mean, over the course of this month is really what I mean. Yeah, you're right. I probably won't be able to tell day one whether or not.
And not just you. Any of these NFL Network guys that are out here.
You know what, Brock? When we were here last year, I remember saying, like, are they ever going to run read option? Like, why do they never practice read option? They seem to run it all the time in games. Why don't they ever practice read option? They're throwing the ball all over the place.
I do also remember 2 years ago saying, "What, Salk, watch Bad Wet Towel. Watch Bradley Sal here. Terrible. He just is getting abused.
Well, and then, he's not good.
And then watch Gary Gilliam. He doesn't even want to take a rep in one-on-one. So, yeah, I mean, there's a few of those tells. But the overarching for you is identity. And I'm just curious if we'll get a feel for that on these practice fields over the next 11 days, or will really be the Thursday,
cool
the Friday, the Saturday, and those preseason games that kind of, I think, dictate that or really crystallize that feeling.
That will be number one for me, and you guys can jump in as well. 710-710, what are you most looking forward to discovering here in training camp? The other for me is the search for the new characters and the new stars. There's been a giant turnover in terms of the names on this team, and look, I'll just be straight up honest. I'd gotten tired of the old personalities. Just tired of it.
I mean, you like Michael Bennett when he came on with us. We loved having Cliff
last year. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the time. But overall, in general, it had gotten stale from a fan perspective. From my perspective, I'm not speaking for everybody, but I think there are those out there who had this feeling, whether they admitted it or not, whether they recognized it or not. It had gotten a little stale. All right, it's Richard Sherman, and he's squawking about this, that, and the other. Okay, it's Michael Bennett, and he's going to come on and be crazy. Okay, like, eventually, it just sort of, you've seen this movie how many times? Like, all right, guess what? I love Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th 2 was pretty good. 3 was kind of interesting. 4 stupid. All right, I'm done with 5. Yes. Please don't make 6. Yeah. You're going to make 7? Okay, fine. I'll tell you what. In 8, get a new cast.
No, they did not make 7 of them.
They made like 900
of them. No, they did not.
They at least,
did they really?
Yeah, Friday the 13th.
Oh, my gosh.
I think they're at least on 13.
Wow.
But whatever. I've never seen any of them, to be perfectly honest with you.
I haven't either.
But I'm just making the point that eventually you've got to reset the cast. That one of the things that's so great about the Olympics is that every 4 years when it happens, it's an entirely new cast of characters for the most part.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Maybe the Michael Phelps or occasionally somebody else drifts from one to the next. But generally, it's about new characters and new challenges. And I'm looking forward to meeting the new characters. Yeah, we'll talk to KJ today. We'll talk to Bobby Wagner. I'm looking forward to seeing how those guys adapt into a new situation. But I want to get to know the Griffins. I want to get to know Chris Carson and Rashad Penny, who are taking over for that spot.
Yeah.
I want to get to know Dwayne Brown, who's going to be one of the new leaders on this team. I want to get to know Jerron Brown, and I want to get to know Nas Jones and this next group of guys who should be taking over some of the leadership.
No, I think that's totally fair. It's funny, and maybe it's just because of my conservative ways that as you're having this conversation, I'm thinking about KJ and Russell and Doug and Bobby and those established guys who have ample more room to still grow in their character development.
Yeah, that's fine.
Russell's been kind of in his little spot of character development. He's been just kind of incredibly consistent with that.
Is going to be a different character this year?
I don't think he's necessarily.
I'll buy that on Bobby, but on Doug.
I'm not saying like their whole character changes, but just the opportunity for if you want to keep this going, they're going to have more a whole lot more parts in the movie, right? That maybe the character doesn't change and the script is going to be the same for Doug and Russell. But you know what? We're going to see them a lot more. There's going to be that frequency for them, and especially for KJ and Bobby, because I think the offense and those guys have been there and done it. And I said this to you the other day. My confidence level with this team, as we watch practice today and the days ahead, I think they'll have a high level of offensive execution. You know, I know there's some young running backs. They can plug and play. Offensive line got a lot of parts that have played a lot more football. Doug and Tyler and Russ, pretty good page. Ed Dixon's played a decade in this. I have a pretty good confidence that offensively they'll execute. It is just defensively where your cast,
where's the pass rush coming from?
Where's the pass rush coming
the number
from?
One question
where's
mark
the, where's, the, where's the barking coming from?
Right.
Where's the swag coming from? Where's the, for 6 years, this defense in these first 2 weeks of camp always had the number of the offense.
Maybe you need it to come from somewhere that you haven't expected, and maybe Nas Jones has. I don't know whether it's him, but maybe it's Nas Jones, or maybe Bobby really has more of that this year than we've seen. Or maybe it turns out Delano Hill can lay people out in the secondary. We just didn't get a chance to see it yet. But those are the things that I'm looking for. Those are the things that I want to see here as we get ready for practice number one of training camp. By the way, if you are coming here today to the Seahawks facility and you need to come north on 405, find another way here. All 4 lanes shut down. I guess there was a fatality this morning, or at least an officer-involved crash. So please, by all means, find another way. It was coming north on 405.
We were coming north, and okay, it was south that was shut down.
We are coming south.
Huh?
We are.
Oh, excuse me. Yes. We were coming south, so yeah. North was shut down. Yes, is that what you
just
said?
Just to do a quick update, it's 405 northbound at 112th Avenue. It's a collision just blocking the HOV lane at this point.
Oh, good.
The current backup, though, is six miles, but it's not all four lanes.
Lydia,
anymore.
You sound like a perfect traffic person.
Oh, wow. That's so weird. I might have done it for 4 years. Maybe that's why.
Ooh. Can you talk about the Cherrydale Hill, or the Kennydale Hill? Excuse me.
Let's talk about the S-curve,
what's
you guys.
What's going on
let's
in the S-curve? All right, 710, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Sure, yeah, I like that.
Mariners get a huge win over the Giants yesterday to split the series. Edwin Diaz, filth, struck out the side in the ninth inning, earned his 38th save of the year. Mike Leake pitched pretty darn well also into the seventh inning. For his defense, let him down, gave up a couple of runs, but Ryan Healy with an early home run in the second. He continues to fight for that spot at first base when Robinson Cano returns. But Brock, they needed that one.
Oh, man.
We'll talk more about it here in 20 minutes. That's the biggest win they've had so far this year. They needed to win that game yesterday as Oakland has yet another miracle finish, coming from behind once again late in the two home runs late from Chris Davis. Mariners needed a win yesterday, and thankfully they got it.
61-41, and that win yesterday was so emblematic or so representative of so many this season. I guess that's the beauty of it. Still a little bit comforting that when you're going to win games and when you're going to win series, and they have, what, a 3-2 homestand, so not as catastrophic as it felt, you're going to do so with the strength of this team, and that's pitching. That's Mike Leake spinning, again, six beautiful innings into the seventh inning. You know, 15 of the first 16 that were retired yesterday. It was Marco the other night that went out and got it done. And if they're going to go down to Anaheim and find a way to win that series in Anaheim, by the way, which the White Sox have done two of the last three games, it's going to be with your starting pitching. And I'll just say this. We'll get into it more in 15 minutes. Today is an off day. When off days happen and baseball moves get made, I would sure love to see some action here from the Mariners.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Training camp is upon us. It's here. It starts at 10 o'clock for the Seahawks. They report for the 2018 season, and everyone is expected, except, of course, for all-pro safety Earl Thomas, who is holding out. Pete Carroll has described this as a year to turn, and we'll get our first look at exactly what that means with that 10 a.m. practice. As I said earlier, Brock, what am I going to be looking for? I'm going to be looking to see whether or not they can get back to who they are, to being the Seahawks team that we fell in love with over the course of the last 7 or 8 years. Can they do it with physicality? Can they dominate the line of scrimmage? Can they regain that swag? Can they regain the identity that it's steadily eroded over the past few seasons? It starts here at training camp right now. I guess it started in the offseason. It continues in training camp as we get to find out just how successful they were.
It sure does. And now the urgency comes. You're 2 weeks away from a game. It is unbelievable. It'll be one of my questions for KJ Wright when he joins us here in about 45 minutes is you have your OTAs, you have your mini camp, and then you're off for the last 6 weeks. And then 2 weeks from now, you're going to be playing. You're going to be tackling full speed for the first time. You're not going to even do that in these 11 practices out here, but you're going to be doing it in some of the most glorious sunshine. These fields are absolutely immaculate. The berm is ready to go. The fans are going to be flooding this place, and I can't wait to watch the captain. I think Pete Carroll should be as energized as anybody else. He gets to reset this team. He gets to do it with so many places of competition. Heck, he wrote a book on that, and now he's going to get to watch this book of training camp, this competition, unfold.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Happy hour for the Pac-12 media yesterday. I think they had like 30, 40 minutes where the coaches gathered with a few, like three or four members of the media and tried to shout into the wind that people should watch the Pac-12. They can't figure out how to find it. Sometimes it's interrupted by a truck race. But it's Pac-12 media day and it was a big deal. Here's the good news. UW picked to win the conference by almost everybody. Chris Peterson and Jake Browning, certainly two of the big stars of this conference right now.
I love Coach Pete's comments. He heard Lydia play in the Blitz last hour is so much of the program's built on, well, just kind of shutting people up or proving people wrong. And so many of the OKGs were not the five-star guys, but the three-stars, the great gains of the world that go about just proving people wrong. And Chris said, well, I guess now we're just going to have to prove you all right. And you're a unanimous pick to win the Pac-12 North, pick to win the Pac-12 overall. And Chris and Jake and Miles and all the rest of a very veteran team, as I was doing my homework getting ready for yesterday, six seniors are going to start on defense, just about as many on offense. This is a veteran-laden team that is built to make this run right now, and they've got to prove those voters right that the preseason pick can end up being, well, the end of the season, the regular season champ as well.
All right, there you go. Every single morning, three things you need to know. Some of your texts coming through this morning. Yeah, it got stale because it wasn't working anymore. Winning allows for a lot of character. Yes, to the cast change. I think this is an offensive team now. You guys will have to find a new identity because the other one is dead. I'm excited to see if Ethan Posick got better picking up blockers at the second level. The season might depend on it. All right, that might be a little extreme.
Thank you, Bob.
Salk, you're spot on. I'm tired of that old Seahawks cast. I'm a season ticket holder for 20 years. I own a Sherman and Thomas jersey, but I'm ready to retire both and see what else is out there. And then, of course, are you serious, Salk? Friday the 13th, part 4, the final chapter. By far the best in the series. Let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
All right, the day is upon us. Football has started. Fall is here. I know it's going to be 90 degrees, but still, it's fall. What do you think? When you get out here later, 10 o'clock for your show, what will be the number one thing you're looking for?
Well, obviously, look out to see what's expected, that Earl Thomas isn't going to be on the field or even in the around the building. That'll be obviously the easiest thing to realize. But what I'm going to be looking forward to is, you know, seeing how they start to sort out the wide receiver position. If David Moore makes a big jump up and moves higher in the rotation, you know, take a look to see how they're kind of sorting out the tight end position. I'm obviously, you know, that Ed Dixon's going to be the starter, but, you know, will Disley be ahead of Nick Bennett? Want to see that. And then just how it goes in the pass rush, because, you know, Deion Jordan, if he's going to be healthy enough to be out there, and then because, you know, as they went through the OTAs and the minicamp, what you saw was that you know Jacob Martin was out there starting. So you know, they were just kind of looking to see, you know, who's in, who's out, but just also looking to see the whole team.
What did Atlanta do to get Julio in the door?
Basically, what they did is something very similar to what then Pittsburgh did with Antonio Brown. They took $2 million out of his base salary in 2019, put it in a signing bonus for this year. I think they probably, you know, removed things, but basically just moved $2 million up. So it wasn't any kind of thing that's going to change his average. No new money, just money moved forward.
And there's nothing, nothing the Seahawks could do in an Earl situation there that could remedy this. I mean, he wants a new long-term deal. Is there anything in the short term? Is there any win-win? Is there any opportunity to do what Atlanta did with Julio and the Seahawks can do with Earl?
No. There's absolutely nothing, because, I mean, you can't even talk contract until he shows up and shows he wants to be here. So they can't give him any more money or anything of that nature. They've first got to see how much is he in and how much is he not in on this team. Because remember, he's the one that's chasing down Mark Davis and chasing down Jason Garrett and all that stuff, and he's the one saying if he doesn't get a new deal, he's holding out. This all on him right now.
So do you think they send an email every day with the balance due?
No, I don't know about that.
Like, I mean, an invoice?
Yes.
Yeah, an invoice is like, okay.
That's all I know. Every bill comes every month for me. Like, if I don't
accounts
pay.
Payable.
Yes, it's like there. So every day, here's, boom, what is it
per
day?
They send that to collection of
$40,000 a day.
Here's a $40,000 bill per day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right to
your account is past due. If you do not pay $80,000,
yes. Well, yeah,
tomorrow,
also remember,
we will be calling collections.
Yes. If it goes past 5 days, they can take 15% of his remaining proration up to 25% for
that's
10
gonna
days.
That's going to happen. I mean, we all know that's going to happen. Hey, a lot of other things going on around the NFL. Before we get to them, I know you're the injury guy. Who are we expecting to not see out here? I mean, whose injury should we be looking at, people that might not be practicing right away?
Hard to tell. I mean, unless something happens. I mean, you kind of wonder about...
CJ Prosize, just because of who he is?
No, CJ, he's been okay so far.
Well, we'll see about that.
I think he's going to be out
there.
What
do you want to bet when we get all down to it at 10 o'clock that CJ's not ready to go?
Yeah.
Got a groin.
Got a little groin. Got a hammy.
Yeah, I know. But I'd say Dante Johnson, the cornerback they picked up from San Francisco. Don't know if he's had enough time to heal from his knee injury.
Will Deion Jordan be practicing today?
I think so, yeah.
That would be good. I mean, we talk about things we're looking forward to seeing. I want to see him out there practicing. I think he's a difference
maker. When will we know that? Is that do the Seahawks release that information, or do we all have to play roll call and attendance and look and see who's available?
Hard to tell. I think they probably will release it sometime after the start of practice. That's what most teams seem to be doing right now, because like for example, the Bengals just went on the practice field and they just put out about 8 or 9 guys on PUP or on NFI. So I would imagine right around 10 o'clock. Which is a great time to listen, because I'll be on the show.
Yes,
perfect time to listen.
Good tease.
Plus, we'll be done, so finally people can come pouring back to the station. What's wrong with Jerry Jones? What's he doing?
Again, it's just Jerry being – and it's the problem that the league has, is trying to have 32 owners trying to make a decision that should be done by the league in consultation with the players. But him coming out and demanding that the players are not going to be in the locker room, they have to come out there and stand, good luck on that
one. I'm sorry, John, of all the people, and the guy who most recently employed Greg Hardy and said that he was a leader on his team, of all the people to complain about whether or not his players are there and behaving the way he wants them to during the national anthem, where does Jerry Jones get off saying that?
Well, that's going to have to ask the players, because what he's doing is he's doing what the league would like, is having all the players out there. But basically, this is more against the players than it is the National Football League, because he's saying, no, my players are going to be out there and they're going to toe the line and they're going to do exactly what I want them to do.
What is the upside for him of doing this? What is he gaining from that, other than ill will with his players?
That's true. No, he's not gaining anything. And I'm sure he probably angered Roger Goodell in the National Football League, because he put a memo out saying, hey, don't talk about this while we're in negotiations. And there's a big session of negotiations scheduled for tomorrow. I know that Art Rooney of the Steelers, he says that he thinks it will get something done. He's optimistic, but right now,
Jerry Jones Hey, last thing here. If there's emails going out to Earl every day for the $40,000 owed, was there a $2 million check that went to Sherm yesterday for passing his physical and not starting the year on the PUP?
Yep, he got $2 million for being on the roster, not being on the PUP. And so good news for him and his recovery. And I don't know how much he's going to practice, but at least he's eligible to practice.
Yeah, I think they said 2 days on, a day off, 2 days on. Going to kind of manage that. But no surprise, you give Sherman a goal to go after and to attain, that, especially when it comes to his dough. Kudos to him.
Hey, by the way, did you notice that the number of holdouts wasn't that bad for rookies?
Yeah, it came way down,
two.
Didn't it?
Came down to two.
Who were the two?
Sam Darnold with the New York Jets and Roquan Smith with the Chicago
Bears. Why isn't Sam Darnold signed? I mean, if you're the Jets, isn't that like the – you've got to get that done, don't you?
Done.
Yeah. Oh, so it'll get done. So it won't be a problem. When do they open camp?
I said a week ago that most of these things are going to get done. We're down to two.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
We're down to a wild card too, Johnny.
Time now for the wild card. Wild
card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite camp memory that might not have to do with football, since Howdy is out camping today?
Oh, you mean going out camping?
Yeah. Or going to summer camp, John. Yeah, anything. Yeah. Day camp, kids camp.
Well, I still remember being in Boy Scouts and trying to do it, and just how much I didn't like it because I couldn't see television when I'm out camping. I think the biggest thing that I hated about it was trying to put the tent up.
Say that again. You couldn't do what?
Couldn't watch TV.
Oh, okay.
Remember, we didn't have any kind of cell phones that we could watch TV or
right.
something of that nature.
Right.
That wasn't around there.
Oh, John, I love you.
I love you too, John.
Can't wait to see you over here. 10 o'clock, training camp's underway. We'll see you then. Bye, John.
All right.
Every day with us at 7:15.
Wired in with the Boy Scouts. Where's my TV?
I need my TV.
How can I do
see
my
what's going on with the Steelers.
I love that guy.
Brock, I'm going camping this weekend. I'm ready. We're all set to go. The Salk family is going camping. First time in 25
Woo!
Years.
Let's go.
I am heading
Hot
out.
Dog.
We're ready to go. We've been talking about it. We've been coordinating food.
Did Jane and Larry ever do this with the kids?
My dad was giving me grief because I was like, oh, yeah. You know, Dad, it's not like when I was a kid at camp when I used to, like, sleep on the ground and stuff in the tent. And he's like, oh, what do you use now? I'm like, oh, you use an air mattress and stuff. And he's like, well, that doesn't really sound like camping. I'm like, yeah, it's not like when I was growing up with my parents, all those camping trips. Oh, wait. Never happened. Not once. No way. No name. Never. And he's like, yeah, we never did that.
Nope.
Yeah. He's like, well, one time I think we stayed at a lousy Holiday Inn or something. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't count,
nope.
man. That's not camping. All right. You can listen to the show in the 710 Sports app. It is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. I'll take any advice you have for me as cool. I head out there into the great outdoors. 710, powered by Coors Light. Coming up next, Brock, I nailed it yesterday. I have finally cracked the code and life hacked the Mariners. It's next. I'm Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, well hit ball. Deep into the gap in left center field. Duggar to the warning track, to the wall. Goodbye, baseball. Another home run for Ryan Healy. His 21st of the year. The Mariners with a 2-0 lead over the Giants here in the bottom half of the second. And he's been on a home run tear the last few ball games. Ryan Healy gets it out to the pen in deep left center field. 2-0 Mariners.
Sure was. They let the Giants back into it, but ends up coming away with a win yesterday. Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN, Seattle Rover Seahawks training camp today. KJ Wright's going to join us coming up in a half hour. We also got some Mariners tickets, which we will give to you coming up here in, let's say, 10 minutes. So be listening for the next 10, and we'll give you four Mariners tickets, a four-pack of tickets to go to this cool D. Gordon bobblehead game. Anyway, Brock, I life-hacked the Mariners yesterday. I figured out how to handle this table.
Okay.
So here's what I did.
Facebook?
Yeah, it was on Facebook Live, so I had to download the Facebook Live app onto my television, so I got all that done. I'm like a technical genius, because Taylor and Howdy said I couldn't do it,
right.
And I did, and Taylor, when you show up today, I'm going to rub it in your face. But here's what I did. I watched the first 2-3 innings, okay?
Yeah.
I fell asleep.
Up 2-0 at that point?
I fell asleep, knowing that the Mariners would also fall asleep between the third and the seventh. Then I woke up around the seventh, eighth inning. They scored another run. I watched the end of the game. It was perfect. I life hacked the Mariners. I turned them into a 4-5 inning game.
Okay.
It's the only 4-5 innings they play.
True.
And it's the only 4-5 innings I watched.
And so
it was awesome.
It's...
They don't do anything in the middle innings. There's no reason to watch them and the lousy at bats. I don't need to watch them flailing away like drunks. I can just turn it in later once they've actually woken up and started playing again. It's awesome.
Yes.
I recommend this to everybody. If the Larry Salk method, my dad, is to turn off the game in the ninth inning when the closer comes in because nothing good can happen.
Yep.
This is the Mike Salk method, and it's simple. It only works for this Mariner team. Watch the beginning of the game, see them score a few runs, and then tune in at the end when they've woken up and decide to play baseball again.
Why can I close my eyes right now and imagine John Stanton, if he's in a car driving, or Scott Servais on his way to the ballpark, hopefully getting ready with Jerry to make some moves? Why can I just imagine both of their faces looking right now with such disgust at you? You are from you, this can't come from you.
It was
you.
Perfect.
No, this can't come from you, and it can't come from Lydia.
Oh, it doesn't come from
us. And it will never come from Lydia.
It comes from the Mariners. It comes from their inability to do anything in the middle innings at all.
Yes.
And so I feel like it's just a life hack. It's just a way to enjoy the season a little bit more. You get to see them at their best early and late in games.
That was a game they had to have.
Yes, it was.
I hate to say that in late July, because there's going to be, you know, you'll hear, we're out here at the VMAC today, and we're watching guys. And by the way, we're going to try to figure out who that ripped dude is.
I don't know who that is.
But that is one ripped sucker that's getting his early practice work in.
All right, you've met your quota. Let's move on.
No, we're going to have to figure this out.
Male pet quota before 8 a.m. You've met it.
Brock thought it was
To be fair, Lydia, who was the one that made the point about the pecs first? It wasn't me.
Oh, no,
that
was me. Absolutely Salk.
It was absolutely Salk.
But that guy's got some of the biggest pecs I've ever seen.
Yes.
He is jacked. Yes. I don't know who it is, but we're going to figure it out.
I hope it's Ed Dixon, because that's what I want my tight ends to look like, to have muscle on top of muscle.
Could it be one of the new defensive ends? Could it be Jacob Martin?
No, Jacob's not that big. I don't know. I'll make an uncomfortable scene when he walks
sure
in
you
here.
Will.
I'll say, "What's up, EZ?"
I'm sure you will. Yeah. Hey, what's up, Ed?
It's not Ed.
Who are you?
You know what? I'll take a risk. I'll be willing to put myself out there. And
I made him laugh already with the authorized personnel thing. So whoever this is, we don't know who it is. He walked out of the Seahawks locker room. He came through the door, and then he realized that he needed to get back in for something.
Yes.
But unfortunately, it's locked, and it says authorized personnel only.
Yes.
And so he's just like knocking on the door like an intern or something.
Until a couple of the trainers ran out.
No, that's for authorized.
I'm sorry I took us way off the path, but I was going to say, with football guys, we get to the point where must-win games, and you'll hear that in September, October, and it's not a must-win. Tony Dungy hated that as much as anything. It's not a must-win. Okay, must-wins are what, you know, in December eliminate you from playoffs. So that did not feel like a must-win game in front of 45,000 in sun-drenched Safeco yesterday. But by no means did you want to come out of that homestand 2-3. By no means do you want to get swept by a 500 .500 Giants team, and by no means do you want to begin this stretch against Anaheim and Houston and what's coming up in August without a win yesterday.
Or half a game up on Oakland, which is what you would have been after they rallied once again to beat Texas. They're obnoxious, man. They are down 5-1 in that game. They hit a three-run home run from Chris Davis to make it 5-4, and then he hits a two-run shot with two outs in the ninth.
Yeah.
Just to show it in your face.
No, not just two outs. Two strikes. Two outs, two strikes.
Yeah, that was really, really annoying. So I want to move today. So Thursday, it's an off day. It's rare, right? They had a Monday off day, a weird two-game series. Everybody else is playing, right? The Rangers and A's try to wrap that up, and everyone else is balling, and you have a day off before you go to Anaheim, a very familiar foe. So it's not as if the scouting, you're going to spend a ton of time with your scouting reports right now. You know what they are. They know who you are as much as anybody, I think, in all of baseball right now. You've played them so many times. So today is an off day. Today is a day to get something done.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they're waiting for the market to sort of come back to them. The sellers are all trying to jack up the prices now. I think those will come back down as you get closer to the deadline. Remember, the Mariners don't have that much to offer. They don't have any prospects to trade. I mean, they're looking at giving up cash. That's what they have. That's their resource. So we'll wait and see how that happens.
To your point last night, you can't wait. Look at what Familia has done.
You can wait, but they need it soon. I mean, look, Familia's helped, and the earlier you strike, the more value you get. And they did some of that when they got Span, who's been really good for them, when they got Colomay, who seems to have kind of gotten it back together. So, I mean, they've already struck once, but yeah, Familia in two games has two wins, which is unbelievable. He's thrown four shutout innings and already has two wins. That's how good he's been so far. Here's what I liked about last night. There are two things. One, which was obvious, just how blazing good Edwin Diaz was again. I mean, strikes out the side in the ninth inning. If you had any concern that over his last couple outings he maybe wasn't 100% nasty Edwin Diaz, he got right back to it yesterday. Just ask Buster Posey here in Cut 3, whose bat apparently was so terrified of the ball, it dove into the stands.
Hang on, we just need 1 second. We'll get that for you. I mean, we're still looking for Buster Posey's bat. That's why.
Somewhere over here in the camera You could just dig it right out of the camera well. It's like right here.
He wanted no part of it.
All right, don't worry about it. The other thing that you saw last night, Brock, was that they did what they do.
Yes.
It was an actual Mariner win. They created a run early as D. Gordon gets hit by a pitch, steals second, goes to third in the overthrow, comes in on a sac fly. Perfect. That's been Mariner baseball all year long. In the ninth inning when they needed a run, or in the eighth inning when they needed a run late, and I'd woken back up to watch the end.
Perfect.
You got another a walk from Guillermo Heredia, like his first in the last 100 years. Bunt him over to second. D. Gordon was nearly safe at first, and then just a Gene Segura hit, and that's all you need. I mean, they just did it the Mariner way in winning late and getting your bullpen to kind of shut it down. That's what we've come to expect from them.
Yes, and there's
great,
and there probably is a little beauty in that, to be honest with you. You know, a little beauty that they could come into that clubhouse and Scott could remind them of all of that. That they get an off day today yet again and continue to recharge, continue to reset, and you're going to go down on an easy trip to Anaheim, an Angels team that continues to be double digits behind you in any kind of wild card race. So put them away, continue to put them away and end their season, and be reminded that you're capable of doing this. Okay, I know it's not been what it was in the month of June. July has been a different month than the month of June, and August hopefully is a little different. August, hopefully Nelly comes alive, Mike. I mean, he's batting .150 in the month of July. You know, this is not with
almost no power.
They
got a bunch of guys who could use them coming alive.
3-4 and 5.
Mike Zanino's, what, 1-for-10 since returning, and was 1-for-10 before that? I mean, that's 100
hitting. So if you're 20 games over .500, if you have a homestand, you can still win. If you can find a way, yeah, I like that, your little Mariner win, your Mariner way, and continue to just find those wins and add them in that column, eventually the track record of Kyle Seager, the track record of Nelson Cruz, yes, even a track record of Mike Zanino that is going to have a stretch of 2 to 3 weeks. I really do firmly believe
that. I sure hope so.
Hopefully, thankfully, those should align here in August and September.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Speaking of August, you want to go see the Mariners take on the Dodgers on August 19th. We've got a 4-pack of tickets for you right now. Chance to join Pepsi as well for a pregame party in the pen. Private party with Mariners second baseman D. Gordon before the game. It's all brought to you by Pepsi. You can learn more at 710sports.com/win. I've had some complaints, Brock, from those listening on the stream that when we give it away to the first or second caller, that it's not fair to them. They don't have as good a chance to win.
I agree.
Now, it's also not fair to Ashley and Lydia to make them dive through like 100 calls. So, Ashley, What is the highest number of calls you're willing to answer in order for us to give away these tickets?
Oh, no.
What's 11? The highest number?
You're going to put that kind of pressure on me already?
Is it 12? Is it 15? Are you willing to answer 20 calls? Like, how many calls are you willing to answer?
For the people, I'll do 20.
20 calls!
The 20th call?
That is so nice of you.
You're welcome, everybody.
Best. You are the best. Howdy would have said, like, third. 20th caller. At 206-421-3776, the 20th caller will win the tickets to go see the Mariners, D. Gordon, the whole deal, all brought to you by Pepsi. We'll do some Coors Lights Blue 42. Awfully important as the Seahawks get ready to play today. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Here we go.
This is Coors Lights Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U-corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready? Right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, time for a little Coors Light's Blue 42. So much more fun now that it's football season. No more off-season Coors Light's Blue 42, Brock. It's football season. Guys are out here in front of us. We did finally determine that was Ed Dixon.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
Dude's yoked.
Yes.
I can see why he was the best pass-blocking tight end in football last year. He is, like, if you want to look at a difference between last year's Seahawks and this year's Seahawks, that was Jimmy Graham before.
I mean, to be fair, when Jimmy was out here in shorts and a T-shirt...
He's a good-looking dude.
That's an Adonis as well.
But not in the same way.
Right.
This dude is compact and he's strong. Jimmy was, like, long and lean.
I mean, do we need a Mike Salk body show?
I'm just saying.
I mean, do we need to change that whole deal?
Ed Dixon's a moose, and
but
I'm
Mike
excited
Salk
about
went
it.
To Seahawks training camp, thought he'd be talking identity, and instead he's talking peck deck.
You know I am. Big peck deck on that guy. All right, question number one for you, Brock. If Ed Dixon's already made the biggest impression on me, who could make the biggest impression in general over the next 4 weeks?
Yeah, I think you're probably looking at wide receivers. Running backs, it's very easy to do that. You're going to see Chris Carson. I know I'm going to see a note from you at some point. You're going to see Chris Carson, as we saw Thomas Rawls in the past, as we've seen other running backs really flash, and Rashad Penny. You're going to see those guys make some huge plays. I think it's easiest as far as impressions to be made to folks on that berm, to the scouts that sit above us here, Mike, and to your eyes on the sideline, it's running backs. But I'm gonna take it to the wide receivers. And the two names that I've heard rumbling from just different people in and around this building, and that is Demaryius Stringfellow and Marcus Johnson. The receiver that
I think
came,
there's a lot of people saying who and who?
Yeah, well, Stringfellow they know from Washington and bounced around and everything else, so at least there's some background there. But the guy is just, he's big, he's physical, he's talented. There's never been a talent issue with Stringfellow. It's been a character and consistency issue. Guys like that that have talent, Mike, they flash. They flash in the preseason. Every year we're impressed by a wide receiver. Every year somebody comes out of that position group and battles for a key spot there. I think it'll be Stringfellow, and keep an eye and an ear on Marcus Johnson. He's made very positive waves, most importantly with the quarterback, and that can be a big deal in the decision-making process.
All right, question number two. You got a chance to go to Pac-12 Media Day yesterday representing ESPN. Brock, what was the biggest thing you learned?
I think a couple things. There's haves and have-nots in this conference. Clearly, you know, when you looked at the Pac-10 media polls, I think it represents that. It's Chris Peterson, it's David Shaw in the Pac-12 North, picked to finish 1-2. And in the Pac-12 South, it's Clay Helton and Kyle Whittingham, picked 1-2. And those are some of the longest-standing coaches. Whittingham at Utah for 14 years. 24 total years at the University of Utah, which is unheard of in the business. But yeah, I think more than anything, there was substance, there was background, there's familiarity with those guys. It's why they were picked atop their conference. And then there was a lot of newness. And Mr. Kelly and Mr. Sumlin have got to add to the pedigree of this conference. I think they will. Their resumes can go a long way in doing so. But if the Big Ten hit the rock bottom and hit the basement level, Mike, about a decade ago, had horrible bowl seasons, can't run, don't have athletes, SEC's on their turf taking their players. Well, it took Jim Harbaugh, it took Urban Meyer, and it took James Franklin to change the perception. The Pac-12 and Larry Scott have to hope that Chip Kelly and Kevin Sumlin, excellent resumes between them, can come in and inject that same kind of juice into this conference.
All right, question number three. You got to see my guy yesterday, too, my boy Larry.
I spent a lot of time
Larry
with
Scott.
Larry.
That's yes. My dude. That's my dude right there. What'd you take away from him? Who does he remind you of?
He was actually, to me, he and I probably had 45 minutes of conversation individually with him over the course of Thursday night. We had a little technical difficulties on set, went down for about 15 minutes, and he was sitting next to me, had a whole lot of time to talk to him. Just person to person, not a bad human being at all.
Who said he was a bad human being? Not just a bad commissioner of the Pac-12.
He reminded me, and here's the name, I'm sorry to say it, it was Paul Wolf. Do you remember the media days we were at?
Sad.
Well, do you remember the media days we were at? And Paul Wolf spoke and no one listened.
That's sad.
And unfortunately, just in some of those circumstances that he's around, because, Mike, when you don't get stuff fixed, when things are still broken, when the network is still fledgling and losing distribution and not gaining any of it, not gaining any traction, and you say things like, well, we're in great shape, we won 12 titles last year as a conference, and you just avoid the obvious and not take that head on, people get tired of hearing that over and over. You said the message in some ways got a little stale around here, that some of the cast of characters gotten stale. That thing is beyond stale, and people tuning out, unfortunately, when he was speaking.
All right, there you go. Those are three football questions with Brock. We do that every single morning right at 7:45. I posted a picture of Ed Dixon.
Can you do that? Dude, are you supposed to do that?
I don't know.
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're not practicing or anything.
Right.
It's just how jacked he is.
It's just the cast.
I can't.
Really?
What do you mean you can't?
You won't look at it?
Lydia, you and Ashley have said now, like, into our ears, like, five times, I can't.
Dude, he's coming back over here now.
It's like 3, 8 a.m. We're already getting, like, peck and lat takes and just, it's just a little much. That's all.
Hold on a second.
Our engineer, Paul Carvalho, is here. Paul,
has he ever uttered a word on our show?
I don't think Paul's ever said a word on our show. Maybe when we were in Ireland, because Paul came with us to Ireland, where they asked him where he was from, and he said Cairo.
Right.
And they thought he was from Egypt instead of from the radio station.
Looking Cairo. Good, Ed. Looking good, man.
Amazing.
Paul, scale of 1 to 10, how jacked is Ed Dixon?
10.
Yes. There was no hesitation. Man, Paul.
Those calves. Mm. Those hips.
Keyword body show.
Yeah, we
except
need to
it's
change
a salt
that.
Body
it
show
is
right
a
now.
Salt body show.
It generally isn't, but something Ed Dixon kind of piqued my interest.
He did it for you.
Ed Dixon's jacked. I am so excited about this. All right. KJ Wright's going to join us. I saw him skipping rope inside just to get ready for this interview. It's coming up next on Brock and Salt.